could you talk a little bit about the animation and talk about what the award means?
So it's like another level that I've been able to take this horrific incident to. You know, like it's another platform. I've been able to elevate my own personal narrative to the point to an Emmy Award, and that's huge for me. But what really brings me back, I think, and grounds me at the same time, while I'm out here doing this, I'm seeing that we are still having black and brown people shot and killed in the streets. You know, a lot of people are being murdered to the same type of violence that I was fortunate enough to survive. And it's a fuel at the same time. It makes me want to continue to do this work, continue to elevate my own personal narrative while bringing attention to these other horrific instances of police abuse that we've continued to see around our country. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be able to do these things and all the people who have supported me along the way. I just don't want to get lost in the mix of all of this elevation without still being in touch with people who have been directly impacted and are suffering from lost life. But it's amazing.
And it also must be a mixed blessing for you, too. There must be a certain element of re-traumatizing you. Are you able to offer advice to other people going through what you went through?
Definitely. And yes, it is. I mean, there's always that component, like, you know, you're here, you're doing these things, success is happening, but this was all based off of being racially profiled and brutalized by Denver police. And that will always have its component of trauma there, not only the trauma that I had to endure and have had to normalize and process and digest in my own ways, but then reliving the narrative every time I see the piece. And I would tell folks who end up in this type of situation to do a couple of things. One, if you survive or if you're there, to document exactly what happened, write your own narrative as soon as possible, because while you're going through this mix of emotions, your recollection can get fuzzy and things can get distorted. You may forget crucial details. Don't talk to law enforcement or district attorneys or detectives who may visit you until you have had a chance to sit down with somebody who's advocating on your behalf, whether that's an attorney, whether that's your family. You don't have to, and there's no requirement to speak to anyone prior to that. I would also encourage folks to figure out a way to deal with these traumas. For me, part of the way that I decided to address this and digest this and face this was to talk about it. For me, I use that as a therapeutic method. But then there's always that moment that you have to relive it. You have to talk about it. Some days you'll want to talk about it more than others. And that's part of the system. I mean, if you do survive or if the family's grieving, and you're being harassed, a lot of the time there are criminal charges attached to people who survive. So you're forced to relive it time and time again as you navigate the criminal side of the criminal justice system. And then post, should you reach dismissal or a point to where now your family is advocating for a civil rights lawsuit, you're going to have to relive it time and time again. So it kind of forces, the way the system's set up, it forces you to be re-traumatized. But for me, that was also a method that I used for therapy because there was just so much emotion around it. I wanted to talk about it. I wanted justice. I wanted the individuals who assaulted me to be held accountable. I was frustrated with the criminal justice system because that was my real introduction to this major facade and how they do not actually care about black lives and they offer impunity to uniformed personnel. So that was frustrating. It was just a way for me to channel my emotions, I think, and keep going. And I know that people out there who have been impacted like this have similar feelings. So I would just advise them to deal with it in a very healthy way. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the possibilities that could be at hand, because sometimes success will rear its head out of really ugly circumstances. You'll be able to uncover specific gems that you may not be able to see right away.
And Alex, one final question. Years ago, I interviewed your mother, and she said Denver cops beat up the wrong kid. And it looks like the officers who assaulted you are being reminded also repeatedly. I'm wondering what's next in your case. Can you give us an update? Because it's never really settled, from what I can tell in the cases that I've seen. No matter what happens, the residual effects continue. Can you tell me about your own case?
Absolutely. So in my personal case, just to take folks back through that process, the DA decided not to indict these officers, even though they coerced a witness, fabricated evidence that didn't exist, lied on testimony, corroborated stories, and then obviously the horrific brutality that I had to endure, they weren't charged for any of those things. And then the discipline matrix that we have in Denver that drew out the investigation on whether or not these officers should even be terminated took 4.5 years under the former manager of safety, Alex Martinez. The FBI got involved, the Department of Justice got involved, and the Department of Justice and FBI said a civil rights violation had not taken place, and the manager of safety 4.5 years later said that the officers didn't violate any procedural, any policies or procedural methods of policing. So that meant they weren't even going to be disciplined, and they weren't terminated, they weren't demoted, they weren't suspended, and then they went on to hurt other folks. And one of the officers, Ricky Nixon, who actually went on to assault several women, and some of the other officers that were involved in my case actually never fell under the microscope, and they're still out there policing now. So with my personal case, yes, as far as my mom saying they messed with the wrong kid at the time, they absolutely, because I didn't know how to make a rational experience out of this irrational situation. And for me, it was just my way of getting back at them against this system of injustice to keep poking holes in policy in Denver while elevating my own platform. And I would encourage anybody else who experiences these type of violence to not remain silent, to talk about what happened to you, to talk about what happened to your family, to advocate for yourself, and to bring awareness to these types of violence that are riddled throughout Black, Brown, Indigenous, and poor white communities. And we have to acknowledge them for what they are, because until we start doing that, we're not going to have equality. We're not going to have safety in our communities. We're not going to have police forces around the country treat us any differently until we call these things for what they are. And we have people listen to us and recognize that we've been screaming for a very long time, and it's time for you to listen.
Alex Landau, thank you so much, and congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.